Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Yeah, it's been so crazy this morning. I still have some tea left, which is unusual because normally that's gone. I make this big mug of tea in the morning. Gets me going. Put in some half and half and some raw honey for you know, organic, you know, vitamins, nutrients, and all that, you know, immune system stuff to the local pollen. So far, it's working. Anyway, there's a ton of things to talk about today. I'm really excited. I'm actually awake. I think I'm getting, like, regular sleep now. So all these things kind of tie into the overall performance of the show, as they would say. So I'm still coming. Sorry. One of my best fans says I laugh too much. We're still coming off yesterday's show, where we had such a great time, not at Congressman Gates' expense, but just the fact that we did take his subject seriously of the false accusations and the obligatory sex scandals that happen, that seem to happen regularly as soon as a Republican reaches a certain level of effectiveness against the left. And so I think it's Matt Gates' turn, and that's what's going on. He being our congressman here, we're especially interested in getting him back on the show. That's not what was funny. What was funny was I made a really stupid comment. I said, well, you know, I had a couple of our regular callers. I had Josie and I had Pianchi on the line. And I said, well, what do you think would happen? You know, what do you think my obligatory sex scandal is going to be if I get really famous here? And, of course, they told me. You have to listen to yesterday's show. We really had a good time. And, again, it was and we're not trying to make fun of people who are sexually harassed, sexually assaulted, or anything like that. But the idea of what scandal would happen to me, that was funny. So, you know, we have our moments here on the show. We really do. Serious show today. And but, again, you know, we're going to have our lighter moments just because, you know, if you can't laugh at the stuff going on, you're taking life way too seriously. So first thing up, of course, is the election correction report, and I will get to that. There's a lot of really amazing things happening behind the scenes, which is kind of cool. And eventually, I think, we talked about this Monday, the way this is going to go, that I'm, you know, my prediction, we're putting on the record here, is that the evidence is there. We know the evidence is there. You know, if you want to watch Mike Lindell's films, Absolute Proof and Scientific Proof, and you go to MikeLindellTV.com, the evidence is there. So the evidence isn't the problem. We've got them. What's happening now is the forensic audits, and then to get those results certified. So we're certifying the proof. The proof is there. But we get the proof certified, and then it's up to the states to change their elector count. And once their electors, you know, in a certain amount of states go for Trump, he gets over 270. Now it's like he wins the election. There's no statute of limitations on this. You know, we've heard 22 months and things like that to keep the balance. But, you know, what statute of limitations is on a coup d'etat, is on stealing your country, is on manipulating votes in literally every state, you know, in the union. That's not something you can just say, okay, January 20th, it's over. You know, the inauguration, we got away with it, it's done. No, that's crazy. That's like saying if you rob a bank and you hold onto the money for a year, that it's yours. And of course, we don't do that for the simple reason that it would make crime pay and everybody would do it. All right. Well, not everybody, but enough people, the bank robberies would be huge. Well, in the same way with elections, if you make elections pay, if you make it possible that elections, you know, are actually, you know, cheating on elections is actually a viable option, then of course you're going to get more cheating on elections, which is why this has to be corrected. The thieves, you know, have to be brought to justice, and we have to put the lawful president in office. Now, I had a rather intriguing thought that's going to, you know, blow the heads off the left to think about this. So let me just kind of drop this out there now, and we'll let this kind of simmer for a while. When Trump gets his second term back, he will have been out of office for, you know, at least a few months, possibly several months by the time this finally goes through, which means he will not have completed his second term. Okay, follow me through on this. This is going to get really good. All right. So the Constitution, it was amended that presidents can only serve two full terms. Well, if President Trump only serves one and a third, or one and two thirds, let's say one and two thirds, you know, second terms, he hasn't served his full term yet. Okay, he gets to run in 2024, even if he comes back to office in 2021. All right. Think about that. He, you know, because he wouldn't have completed two full terms yet, because Biden would have stolen part of it. So here's the constitutional question that nobody's asked yet, just because, you know, you're not thinking that far ahead. You know, you justices on the court and reporters and all you pundits and you legal scholars and things like that. But if Trump, well, I'll talk to Jonathan mostly about this too, because I think it's kind of intriguing. But if President Trump, or excuse me, when lawful President Trump gets his office back, he will not complete a second term because a certain amount of months of it will have been stolen, thus entitling him constitutionally to run again. You know, not for a third term, but for a complete second term. I just think that's kind of an intriguing thought. And those that might argue, well, he only gets so many months. No, that's not what the Constitution says. This is two complete terms. Okay. So if he only gets one and a third terms, because it was stolen, you know, or one and two thirds terms, that's not a complete term. Okay. I just want you liberals to think about that, you know, when you're pondering your election fraud and, you know, when you're counting all your sins over and over again, you may be stuck with Trump, you know, to 2028. What do you think about that? Anyway, the other thing is today's topic of the show, vaccine passports, unconstitutional document to tyranny. Okay. It's rapidly coming out now. That these are just horrible, that this whole idea, and it, of course, it originates in the liberal states. New York has them, I think, already. Insurrectionist Biden is trying to impose them on the whole country. But what's really intriguing about this is that a couple of state governors fought back. Our own Governor DeSantis here in Florida, Governor Abbott of Texas, who, from what I've heard, is very much a political animal. I mean, he does the right things because he has to, because he's in Texas. But given his choice, if he were the governor of Delaware, he'd be completely different. He'd be a gun-grabbing liberal. So I can't swear to that. That's something I heard, you know, through the grapevine, as it were. But if anybody wants to call and confirm that, feel free. 215-383-3832. Okay. So I'm not sure quite how much time I have today as far as this goes, because normally we have – well, this is the time when we used to have the Oh My God report with Wendy Arthur, who can't participate like she would like to, so we're going to hold that off for a while. Looks like Chief Dan Skyhorse is coming in for the Creek Report at the bottom of the hour, and so that then leaves we also have Michaela Kerwin and Jimmy Smith are going to join us with the Concerned Veterans for America. We're going to talk about auditing the VA at the top of the next hour, and of course the last half hour is mine again. So I have a lot to get through, so what I'm probably going to do is cover the election correction stories this half hour, and then get on to the rest of the show. And then the last half hour, I'm going to get to the vaccine passport, the whole idea, which is really, you know, pretty horrendous. I'm covering a little bit of it now. So I wrote something about this. First of all, I looked at the definition of a passport, an official document issued by a government certifying the holder's identity and citizenship and entitling them to travel under its protection to and from foreign countries. So in other words, a passport gets your government protection. It doesn't mean you have to do something to get it. You get a passport by virtue of your citizenship, and the government then protects you. Okay. And so that's how it works. You're protected if you're in a foreign country, you know, as much as possible, unless you do something really stupid. Okay. But the U.S. embassy in foreign countries is there to help you if you screw up or if something happens to you or things like that, because you're a U.S. citizen, you know, traveling under a U.S. passport. Now, the irony of that is illegal aliens who are in this country, you know, who are not entitled to anything, certainly no rights. You know, I use this example as to why illegal aliens have no rights, right? So if an American citizen traveling under a U.S. passport and an illegal alien living in the United States illegally, you know, both travel to, I don't know, Cairo, Egypt, for example, right? And they both get in trouble, right? So the U.S. citizen, of course, is going to go to the U.S. embassy and say, hey, I'm a U.S. citizen. Here's my passport. You know, protect me. And, of course, the U.S. embassy will say, well, yes, you know, we think you might have screwed up a little bit, but, you're a U.S. citizen. We're going to protect you. The illegal alien in the United States cannot go to the U.S. embassy in Cairo. Okay? Why? Because they're not a citizen. They're not our responsibility. They're not subject to our jurisdiction. They're subject to the jurisdiction of the country they're from. If they're from Honduras, for example, they're going to have to go to the Honduran embassy if there is one in Cairo. Okay? See what I'm saying? This is why illegal aliens have no rights. So if you want to explain to people why illegal aliens have no rights, use this example. An American citizen and an illegal, go pick a country, you know, Thailand, doesn't matter, you know, Iran, probably won't get in there. But whatever country you pick, the American citizen is the only one that can go to the U.S. Embassy for protection because we are under U.S. jurisdiction. The illegal alien cannot go to a U.S. embassy in a foreign country for anything other than recording that they're an illegal alien and deportation when they get back. All right, so think about that as you work through. So the whole idea of vaccine passports, it's a really unfortunate term because it implies that it's offering national protection, government-sanctioned protection, and things like that. But there's a couple of problems. The first problem, of course, is the vaccines, I think are dangerous. I don't think they work. Most of the people that are getting them, are probably immune to COVID already because of herd immunity. They don't even know it. Or they had it and they're immune. Or if for any number of other reasons, that these things are being rolled out at a point, which is smart for the, Dr. Fascist and the rest of the cabal, that they rolled out the vaccines at a point where most people were probably immune anyway, thus making the vaccines appear to work extremely well. Okay. And now they're saying, but then the problem is if they work too well, then you don't need more vaccines. So if they're going to sell more vaccines on top of the vaccines they've already sold, they have to bring in variants of the disease. So in other words, oh no, COVID's mutating. It's mutating into a million different things. We need a million different vaccines. You better be protected because if you're not protected, what are you going to do? And you have to vaccinate yourself because you have to protect everybody else. Isn't that nonsense? That's like saying you have to take out a bank account for everybody else so they have money. Oh, please, come on, give me a break. Anyway, maybe that's not the best example. Point being, though, that the idea that you need to buy your rights, okay, to get back to get your life back. This is, and we've talked about this on previous shows, it is unconstitutional. It is illegal for the government to force you to buy your rights by complying with something that you don't want to comply with that has no, legal requirement because they can't make one. It's your body. Your body, your choice. Remember that? Okay, pro-choice. All right. So it's your body. Your body cannot be seized from you under the Fourth Amendment, without specific due process. And one of those due processes is you're proven to be sick. All right. So if you're proven to be sick and proven to have a contagious disease, yeah, you can be quarantined. I mean, that's how that works. All right. But if you're not sick, if you don't have any symptoms of anything, there's no way they can put a passport on everybody saying you must take this vaccine, just in case, because the limit to vaccines is unlimited. They can do whatever they want. All right. Anyway, so there's the problem. So vaccines don't work. Natural herd immunity, would have ended this last year. But the key to understanding coronavirus is understanding that the vaccine came first, and then they created the virus in order to market the vaccine, okay? The vaccine passport is just socialism for big pharma, so they get government-mandated sale of their experimental concoctions. That's what this is really all about. This is like when governments, when companies go to government and say, we're a natural monopoly, protect us, or they create legislation that doesn't allow competition, like when big tech prevents smaller tech companies from entering the social media market because the cost is too high or there are barriers to entry. If you study economics, there are these barriers to entry. Big companies make it too expensive for little companies to come in. That's why big companies don't mind taxes. Okay, A, they don't pay them because they have good accountants and they move their money around to make it look like they're not making any money, and B, they know the smaller companies can't do that. And so that's just another way to crush the competition. But I digress. Let's get on to the election correction report. And I found a bunch of articles for you. And so this is where it gets fun. So let me just kind of root through some of these here and let you know what's happening. The first one comes from Epoch Times. And this is recently, April 6th, so yesterday. Election fraud prosecution at an all-time high, Texas Attorney General's Office. Again, Epoch Times by Jack Phillips, yesterday. Article says, an official in Texas Attorney General's office, I forgot who that is. That's not Abbott's the governor. Jack somebody. Anyway, the Attorney General of Texas is great. I like him a lot better than the governor, but that's okay. All right. An official in Texas Attorney General's office testified during a state house hearing that the number of election fraud cases in Texas is at an all-time high. Well, gee, that makes sense in the greatest election theft of all time. Of course they're at an all-time high. We just have to check the other states and get their butts in gear too. The article says the amount is higher than our historical average by a long shot. And this is from Jonathan White, head of the Election Fraud Agency within the Texas Attorney General's Special Prosecution Division to the Texas House Elections Committee. Well, that's a mouthful. And that's reported last weekend. Guess what? The Texan. Article says when asked by a state lawmaker if there were trends to its election fraud prosecutions, White said that, quote, have 510 offenses pending against 43 defendants in court right now. That's a lot. He's got 510 offenses from 43 defendants, you know, saying it's, quote, for several reasons, probably. He didn't elaborate. Okay. So White said there are 80%, that about 80% of those pending cases involve alleged mail-in ballot fraud. So if you want to eliminate election fraud, eliminate mail-in ballots. I would, because there's no chain of custody in a mail-in ballot. Okay. You know, it goes from you to see a ballots. If they're going to be secure, they have to go from you directly to the elections department, either locked up in the ballot box or somewhere where the chain of custody is maintained. The minute the postal service enters, you know, the stage or any intermediary between you and the elections department, that's where the fraud comes in. So if you really want to eliminate the fraud, you have to do two things. One, you have to make sure that the vote is being cast by someone who they say it is, and they're not allowed to cast anywhere else. They're not registered anywhere else. You know, they don't have extra ballots mailed to them. They don't have any of that stuff. So you got to make sure you're getting one vote from one person who says who they are in the precinct and in the county where they're allowed to, where they're registered to vote. That's the first way. The second way you do it is you eliminate all mail-in ballots, except for very, you know, extreme absentee ballot cases where it's verified the reasons ahead of time. They say, look, I'm on deployment. I can't be here. I've got an international trip, you know, for a couple of weeks. I have to vote ahead of time. I got, you know, for whatever reason it is. All right. And some people may just miss the election, but I think it's such a small number. You know, yes, you have a right to vote, but are you going to, you know, here's a moral dilemma. You know, is it worth risking millions of votes you know, in vote fraud because of mail-in over making it a little bit more difficult for people to, you know, to mail in vote absentee? I'd say you still have to have the mail-in vote absentee, but the smaller the number, the easier it is to do the chain of custody and to verify it. So you have to have those verification steps. But mass mailing of ballots is insanity. It's just asking for vote fraud. And that's why, and it's showing up. It's showing up in the results. So that's that seems to make sense to me. White said about 80, okay, there we go. The Attorney General's office prosecuted 534 election fraud cases, even, you know, cases committed by 155 people since 2005. Well, it's interesting. So they've got, let me see, how many, my numbers here right now. All time high. So, okay, 510 offenses against 43 defendants this year. All right. So overall, since you know, 2005, they have 534 offenses by 155 people. So that's, you know, three times the people, but not that many more offenses, you know, since 2005. And this year, they've got 510 offenses with 43 people already. And that, I think, is the tip of the iceberg. They say, I think we could both agree that 99.9% of people are honest and forthright. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't cheat. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't go around murdering people or committing aggravated robberies either. You know, okay, so there we go. All right, so that's basically that article. Things are – let's get the next one here. We've got about 12 minutes before Chief Dan Skyhorse checks in. So let me just take a break for a second here, play something for you. So it's, I should do this every day. It's kind of like our morning wake up. But I don't think of it until too late. So, here we go. All right.
Action Radio. Dangerously cool.
Yeah, there we go. I'm playing with the production stuff again. This article comes from AZ Central. And the reason I put it in here is because it's pure propaganda. It's absolute lie, top to bottom, but it illustrates the kind of drivel that most people are getting, and they're believing it. All right. So this is regarding the Arizona, the Maricopa County audit that's attempting to be had. And I heard this interesting thing that most of the Maricopa County supervisors are Republican, which I find interesting. All right. So they're holding up an audit, you know, knowing full well that they have to know that the cheating went on because either they did it or they know who did it. Or they know what happened because they're the supervisor, so you know, they're not stupid. All right, so the article, founder of company hired to conduct Maricopa County election audit promoted election fraud theories. Oh, really? Is it like the theories we get on the left, you know, that happen all the time? That nothing comes immediately to mind. So look at this one. This is published March 31st, 2021. So recently, Andrew Oxford, Jen Fifield, and Ryan Radazzo. So that's Arizona Republic. So let me give you folks all credit for writing a really bad story. The article says the head of the Florida-based technology company who has used social media to promote a range of unfounded election fraud claims. Well, that's a lie in itself. The claims are definitely founded. You know, Mike Lindell's done two specials. There's hours and hours of videotaped testimony that Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis did. There's what, 50,000 affidavits at this point? I heard at last count. There's the work of Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood. You know, see, this is why I thought they should have held a telethon. You know, if they put all these folks together in like a Jerry Lewis style telethon, you know, where they go for 48 hours and here's Marge from Arizona. Marge, what was your story? Well, I was a poll worker and this is what I saw, you know, that kind of thing. And let's go to commercial and let's have an entertainer here. And we'll get a conservative entertainer, you know, to come in and John Voight, you know, have John Voight come in and, you know, talk to Marge for a few minutes. Hey, Marge, thanks for your patriotism. They need a telethon. I don't know, these folks don't listen to my ideas, but that's another story. All right. So back to what's going on here. So they're talking about unfounded election fraud claims. Well, they should think about what they're writing and they should take a look and see if these are unfounded before they say they're unfounded. See, this is where assumptions come in. And my contention, assumptions are stronger than truth. They assume that the election was valid. They assume that any fraud claim is unfounded. So these are the assumptions that ruin journalist integrity. In fact, basically ruin journalism, because you should never assume anything like that unless you can prove it. And obviously these folks didn't, and we did in terms of the proof that's out there. So let me get back to the article. Unfounded election fraud claims and was involved with a previous effort to overturn election results in Michigan. Okay. Overturn's not the right word. They're not overturning anything. What was overturned was the honest election. That was overturned. That was the insurrection. What we're doing now is what I call the election correction. We're correcting the results. The fraudulent results are out there. We need the true ones. And the only way to get the true ones is to correct the fraud ones. And that's why they're doing these forensic audits. Once these forensic audits certify the fraud, make it official, then we can get the election correction and the correct delegates, the electors, to Congress, which is where they need to go. All right. So the first two sentences, I've already got a bunch of nonsense right there. That's why I wanted to read the article. Anyway, so they talk about the guy that's been hired, the Florida-based technology company, you know, it's correct election results in Michigan, has been hired by the Arizona Senate to oversee the recount of Maricopa County's 2.1 million general election ballots. Well, that's Phoenix. Phoenix is a huge part of Arizona in terms of population. I think it's by far the greatest center where all the folks are. Anyway, the company called Cyber Ninjas. I like them already. This is a great name. We'll lead a team that includes three other firms as part of the $150,000 contract the Senate has awarded to conduct an unprecedented audit of the county's election results. But a deleted Twitter account that appears to belong to Cyber Ninja's founder, Doug Logan, suggests he has already made up his mind about the security of Arizona's elections. I got news for you, pal. We have too. A lot of us have. You know, and so what? The person looking into this isn't a judge. You know, they're not an impartial journalist. They're looking into it because they're trying to get to the bottom of what happens. And if they already believe it, that's fine. They still have to prove it. You know, in fact, you can believe somebody. The police believe the people they're arresting are guilty. Otherwise, they wouldn't arrest them. Now, are they guilty? We don't know yet. They haven't been through a trial. They haven't had their due process. But, human nature is such that, you'd probably believe it. I don't think I'd want somebody heading up this team who didn't believe it. Why would you want somebody heading up an audit team, you know, to try and prove the greatest fraud in history, the greatest theft in history, the greatest coup d'etat, you know, the greatest extent of a coup d'etat from China to Venezuela, to all these different places, you know, involved in stealing our election, if they didn't believe that it happened? That to me would be ludicrous. I would fire anybody that didn't believe it happened. Now, they still have to prove it. And if they can't prove it, then that's fine. Okay, I think they're going to, but I want somebody going at this 100%. I don't want somebody thinking, okay, we'll just do the minimum. You know, it's not proven, so let's get rid of them. So what they're really saying is that they want somebody who doesn't believe it, who won't put the effort in, who won't prove it, upset their little apple cart, you know, with the fraudulent results. That's fascinating. Anyway, so Doug Logan suggests he has already made up his mind about the security of Arizona's elections. Good. I said that too fast. Made up his mind about the security. I'll do it Dennis Prager style. Doug Logan suggests he has already made up his mind about the security of Arizona's elections. Yeah, if I talk that slowly, I'd get like 1 in 10. I think that Dennis Prager, God love Dennis Prager, he's wonderful. But I think I get 10 times more words per show in than he does. We should do a word count sometime. Anyway, so the article says it includes a litany of unsubstantiated allegations about fraud in the last election. So yeah, so this is what people are being fed. They're being fed this nonsense daily, you know, and all these stories that there is no election fraud. It didn't happen. The people that are investigating think it did happen. Therefore, they're disqualified. They can't look into it because they're not impartial, you know, and all this other nonsense. And so Doug said, so here we go. What do you say here? No, last election. So here's his tweet. Okay. All right. So Doug Logan, the guy that's this looking into this, says, I'm tired of hearing people say there was no fraud. It happened. It's real. And people better get wise fast. Yeah, he's the guy I want looking into this. Okay. He also appears to have shared, this is from the article posted by Sidney Powell, an attorney who supported former President Donald Trump's efforts to, there's that word again, overturn the election results. Okay. Well, the results, the true results are that Trump won. So we're not overturning that. We're just trying to reestablish them. All right. So I got that article. Let me get you another one here. About 3 minutes left. Breaking story. Arizona Senate announces bombshell audit in Maricopa County election results. That was actually from 6 days ago. So I'm just get the beginning of this. Yeah. So this is the one that says on Thursday, the Arizona State Senate announced they had hired 4 different companies to perform a forensic audit along with a hand recount of the 2020 election results in Maricopa County. Can't wait. That's going to be way too much fun to see how that, well, we know how it's supposed to turn out. Let's see how it does turn out. Okay. Another effort in Georgia, you know, of course, and when you hear these things going on all around the country, you think, wow, that's more than I thought. Okay. Now the guy doing this, is fascinating. He's the one, this animated guy gets up in these Georgia hearings. Again, this is a Jenna Ellis, Rudy Giuliani production. And he says, I can tell you whether the person who handled the ballot smoked. I can tell you what kind of ink they used. I can tell you where the paper came from. I can tell you the mill. I can tell, you know, whether it's a machine signed or human signed. I can tell where the ink came from. I can tell if it's the same ink. I can tell whether it's a, you know, a photograph or real. I can tell you what type of paper it is. I can tell you the tree species. This guy was amazing. He's all these things about what he could do. It was really fascinating. So he says, this is from the Gateway Pundit. The Gateway Pundit, March 24th. 2021. So yeah, a few days ago, but it's still kind of cool. He says the Gateway Pundit article says the quote, scan the ballots effort is moving forward in Georgia involving Jovan Pulitzer. So I don't know if he's in the part of the Pulitzer family, probably the poor part. Otherwise he wouldn't be, you know, he wouldn't have to work for a living. Anyway, so Jovan Pulitzer's technique of forensically reviewing ballots from the 2020 election. So I basically give you the idea. So this guy can tell everything from the ballots. He actually takes the ballots. He can tell whether they've been folded. He can tell whether they've been mailed. He can tell everything about them. And the left, you know, the thieves better be scared to death of this guy because I think he's going to get him. Anyway, so the article says a recount is in the works in Georgia. A week ago, we reported, this is the Gateway Pundit, reported that a judge agreed that that the group, Voter GA, could inspect Fulton County, Georgia ballots from the 2020 election. Okay. Voter GA, you'll see them on one of the news all the time. The head of that is always on, you know, at least, you know, every other day or so I see him. So here's the update. Judge rules that the group Voter GA can unseal Fulton County, Georgia ballots and inspect them for invalid votes in the 2020 election. The article says the inspection is moving forward as Jovan Pulitzer is asking for volunteers for a recount in Fulton County, Georgia. Okay, this is where it gets fun, right? So this guy has this article, it's a video, and he gets on and says, this is a historic time. I put it on my Parler account. So if you go to Parler at Greg Penglis, that's GREGPENGLIS, you'll see the article, this guy, you know, big smiley face, bald head mostly, and he's like, yeah. Guess what? We need your help. So they're actually calling for volunteers. So if you want to participate in history, if you want to do something, you know, remarkable for this country, if you want to actually go be part of this forensic election audit and count ballots, you can go to Georgia. Let me see if I can get the email address. It's in the YouTube. If I watch it, I'll probably, you know, have a YouTube screaming in my ear when I'm trying to do the show. And that's not going to be a good idea. But anyway, go to Gateway Pundit. This is March 24th, and look for the guy with the big smile face and the glasses on top of his head. And he's saying, yeah, come to Georgia. This is going to be great. You know, it should be a whole lot of fun. All right, so let me see if I got this one. I think there's only one more. the election correction report. So this is what I found just before showtime. And again, I expect Dan to call in any minute now. So I'll get on with him. But there he is. It's amazing how this works. All right. So this is one of my favorite sources, Uncover DC. And the article is, well, I think it's this morning. Here we go. Michelle Edwards, April 6th, so yesterday. Georgia Secretary of State Ratzenberger. You know, only ballot images should be audited. See, this guy doesn't want them to look at the real ballots. This is how he's getting around it, okay? They make up some rationalization. They say, well, we have the ballot images. We don't really need the ballots, which totally, you know, dismisses the guy who can tell everything from the actual ballots. So they want to take him out of it, all right? This is how you can tell the guilty. The guilty try and cover up evidence. You know, the innocent say, hey, you want to take a look? Come on, let's go. I want to look too. I'm curious. Let's see what we can find. All right. So the article, I'll just do the first paragraph. Last November's election in Georgia was plagued with numerous concerns over election integrity, many of which are still being examined. With Governor Kemp's recent signing of the, quote, Election Integrity Act of 2021, that's the one that Coca-Cola and Delta, you know, are objecting to without, of course, having read it, because if they had, we'd realize this is pretty open stuff. Anyway, the article says it seems logical to assume the state is implementing procedures to address and correct election fraud when and where it occurred. However, that doesn't seem to be the case in Fulton County, Georgia. I think that's where Atlanta is. Anyway, where on April 2nd, Secretary of State Brad Ratzenberger sent a request to the courts in an ongoing civil action petitioning that ballot images taken from the voting machines be the only source of evidence used in an upcoming audit in the county. Well, of course he wants that. Why does he want ballot images? Because you don't see the paper. You don't see the folds. You don't see the signatures. You don't verify anything. You don't test the ink. You don't test the paper. You don't check the envelopes. You don't do anything. All you have is the image. Well, the image is nothing. You know, that's like looking at a crime scene from a photograph without testing any of the evidence. Right? That's pretty much what's going on here. So he's part of the cover-up. Just one quick thing. Ratzenberger's amicus brief, that's a friend of the court brief, is tied to a petition filed on December 20th, 2020, to the Superior Court in Fulton County, Georgia. Petitioner Garland Favorito, he's the guy that's on One American News all the time, a spokesman for Voter GA, Voter Georgia, who served as Fulton County tabulation observer in the November 3rd election, asked for relief after being ignored by the Georgia election officials regarding his reports of election fraud. So this guy comes up, reports on the fraud, gets ignored, starts his own organization, and is helping to push through this election audit. And then one of the culprits in the thing, Ratzenberger, says, "Oh no, we don't really want. We'll do an audit, but we're not going to check the ballots themselves. We're just going to check the images." Hey, nice cover up there, pal. Yeah, not going to happen. All right, let's get on to Dan and Chief Dan Skyhorse and the Creek Tribe Report. And we'll change worlds completely. Hey, oh, hey. The drum, heartbeat of the Creek people. Like the first heartbeat you hear before you were born. Like the heartbeat of the living spirit in all things. Join us each week at this time as we explore issues and topics important to the Santa Rosa Creek Tribe and American Indians across this great country. Join in as we enter the world of the Creek Tribe and see the world as they do through the eyes of Chief Dan Skyhorse, or in the Muscogee language, Chothloko Suta Miko. You know, I think we're going to have to change my name to Long-Winded Sky Talker. If we can make a little improvement there, so if you want to translate at some point, you know, and then you know, so it would be long-winded upon your sutta. So if you can give me like a derivation up for those times when I can't shut up,
okay,
and that might be a good idea. Hensei Chief, how you doing? What's you know?
He's Limahi. Very good.
Oh, good. Well, good for you. That's wonderful. Yeah, I missed you. We haven't heard from you for a little bit, so it's always good to get you back on the show. But yeah. In a world of fraud and vaccines and strange stuff going on and an imposter in the White House, this is, you know, in my short history compared to yours on this earth, I'm just teasing you, this is the most We're probably only like you know 4 or 5 years apart here, but that doesn't matter. I have to tease him anyway. I've never seen anything like this. This is the most bizarre time. I've never seen a fraud administration. I've never seen a disease created to market a vaccine. Usually it's the other way around. Usually the vaccine is you know created to combat the disease. In this case, the virus, I absolutely believe, was created you know to enhance their vaccine marketing campaign, and everything seems to be leading to that. Everything's happening in reverse. You know, we're through the looking glass. You know, up is down, left is right, 2 + 2 = 5, and people are accepting it. You know, that's the other thing I wouldn't believe, that people say, okay, yeah, I'll wear a mask. Yeah, I'll shut down my business. Yeah, no problem. Just tell me what to do. I'll get a vaccine passport. Yeah, that's as good as my citizenship. You know, I'll prove that I'm worthy of having constitutional rights. I'll buy my birthright back. Yeah, no problem. Just tell me what to do, and I'm there. I'll do it. I'm a good citizen. I'm a good person because I do what the government says. How the hell do we get in this position?
I don't know. Well, I kind of do know, but you know,
go ahead. This is the place to say it. Be brave, be bold. I don't care.
They have come out with a new study that says if you do not have the COVID virus and you wear a mask and you social distance, that you cannot give it to anybody else.
I hope you caught the first part of that, everybody. Yeah, the asymptomatic transfer. If you don't have it, and you wear a mask and social distance, you know, if you don't have it, you know, I can just skip to like I can cut to the chase. You can't give it to anybody else. We can do this in simple terms. You can't give what you don't have, so keep it to yourself. You know, but this is all part of the psychology. You know, we know masks don't work. CDC even said so. We know that most of the people who get COVID are wearing masks. CDC said that too. But somehow this gets lost on everybody when Dr. Fascist gets up and says, well, you better wear 2 masks. And even though you've been vaccinated and you're fully protected, you know, those vaccines are so effective, you better keep wearing your masks and social distance. You know, you can't
have
it both ways. Go ahead.
I have another observation that
please.
Is totally, totally unbacked up by science. But what does that matter? We have had an increase in automobile accidents in our area, I have noticed. And I believe that is stemming from people who are wearing masks while they're driving and becoming hypoxic, and which is puts them in a state of you know virtually like being on alcohol or drugs, being hypoxic and being involved in accidents. And I don't have a statistic to prove that, but I highly believe it because I on a routine basis see people that are driving all alone in their car wearing a mask. And by the way,
to me,
if they're doing that, they can't catch COVID. Did you know that?
It's true, yeah.
Because you're driving COVID alone in your car and wearing a mask. Yeah.
COVID doesn't go through windows. I mean, it's good, but it's not that good, you know. So, and they don't know that the masks don't work, and they don't know that, you know, the virus is already everywhere, and they've already been exposed to it, you know. And that's the other thing too. This guy, I forgot his name, but he works for a Japanese pharmaceutical vaccination manufacturer now. Used to be U.S. government, you know, part of the revolving door, and he briefed the Republicans in Congress back on March 2nd last year, you know, the same day that I came out and said COVID is cured by chloroquine. From the study by Dr. Rall in Marseille, France.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we've been talking about, this is why I never bought into any of this stuff, because I already knew the cure. And the idea of vaccines, and why would you need a vaccine? Vaccine builds up your immunity. But if we already have the cure to this, you know, you know, the vaccines are like the thing that you have when you can't cure it. You know, if you can, you know, do, in fact, let's think about this. Is there any disease that we can cure that we have a vaccine for, that we can cure easily? You know, is there a vaccine for, like, you know, sexually transmitted diseases that penicillin cures, for example? I don't think so, because penicillin cures it. You know? Whereas, like, a cold or a flu, those are different viruses every time. They're all mutated. So maybe you want to have a vaccine. I don't, but maybe there are people who do, because they think that's going to build up their natural immunity with chemical immunity, and they'll be better protected. You know, so in those cases, it makes sense. But things that are – yeah, go ahead.
Well,
things that are curable –
let me ask you this.
Okay.
If there was a shot that you could take that mm-hmm. would prevent pregnancies, but it was only 80% efficient, and you would have to wear a condom, and you would have to social distance from your partner, would
right.
you take the shot?
That's hysterical. Well, it's meaningless. It's a meaningless thing, because if you're doing all those other things, you can't get pregnant anyway. So, you know, are they creating? Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is why it's so fascinating. You know, the whole, well, first of all, and I found out also this social distancing comes from some physician back in 1850 who said that for droplets of tuberculosis, not knowing the particles could be as small as aerosols and would go right through masks and things, you know, but they were saying if you keep 6 feet away from TB victims, you know, you should be okay. But what really cured people was the sunshine. When they had these field hospitals, when they put people out in the sunshine, you know, all of a sudden they found, wow, the viruses are killed by sunshine. Duh. Guess what else is killed by sunshine? COVID-19. You know,
mm-hmm.
so if you want to cure it, get out, get some vitamin D, get out in the sunshine, get out in the fresh air, go to the beach like they closed. You know, they did everything wrong. And so everything the government's done has perpetuated this. You know, stay at home, stay with your family, wear a mask, social distance. Stay away from business. Don't associate with other people. That's guaranteed to keep this vaccine, this virus around for at least a year where it still is. You know, and this is so crazy.
Well, I saw a thing yesterday where Melinda Gates has predicted when the end of the coronavirus will be. And
well, she probably
she
knows.
Has predicted that it will be in 2022. Now, here's an interesting fact that I don't know.
November 2nd
but,
or 1st or what?
No, this is the most interesting fact, is did you know that Melinda Gates and I have the exact same medical degree?
Do tell. From what's the matter you?
I don't have a medical degree.
Yeah, neither do I. Exactly. I'm not a lawyer, but I write legislation and I play one on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now here's the thing, too. Let me ask you another question. Would you take a vaccine funded by people who want to cut the world population in half?
Well, you can stop with the first few words there. Would you take a vaccine? No.
Well, what's going on? What's going on with the tribe now? Are people, you know, like I know people are individually making decisions. Is there a recommendation from the tribal council? Are you just completely leaving people on their own? They can do whatever they want. What's going on?
We have come to the conclusion that the people that are members of our tribe actually know how to take care of themselves and have common sense. And so we have not put forth any directives, recommendations, or anything through mm-hmm. this whole deal.
Yeah.
And we have not had any – we've had people in our tribe who have – contracted or not, well, I don't know if you contract or how the hell you get it, but have had the COVID,
mm-hmm.
but nobody has gotten it as a result of being on the tribal grounds with, you know, anything to do with the tribe. They've gotten it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, we've not had any of those people be a fatality. We had one gentleman who was in his mid-80s that got the got COVID, and they had him in the ICU on ventilators, and he was just going downhill, and they called the family in to make a decision about what to do, and the doctors talked to him, and the family finally decided the best thing to do was just go ahead and take him off the ventilator, and so they did. About 2 hours later, he started breathing better on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And the last I saw of him was a photo on Facebook of him and his family out at a restaurant eating. So there you have it.
No, that actually makes a lot of sense. And this is what's there was a report yesterday I was listening to that what's really killing a lot of people is isolation from their families and idiots in the hospitals. You know, hospital and doctors still are responsible for 500,000 deaths a year. It's the greatest unnatural cause of death there is the medical profession, which is why before I had heart surgery, I literally got five opinions. You know, and I kept calling other doctors. Are you sure? Oh, yeah, this makes perfect sense. Okay, well, great. Thanks very much. Three, number four. You know, yeah. And they had similar reasons. There were differences in degrees and things. But basically, the conclusion was this is critical, or there's a good chance I wouldn't be here, you know, now, for example. They said, you know, 1 in 5 chance of dying in 5 years if I don't get the surgery. And I'm like, And I thought about it and thought about it. I said, okay, fine. Yeah, this actually makes sense. But I don't take these things lightly at all, because I don't trust most of the medical profession. From what I've learned of it, they're pretty good at the plumbing aspect. Like heart surgery, that's something they do, you know, quite well. But when it comes to drugs, you know, when you start getting the marketing involved, when you start getting the Dr. Fascist and the vaccine patents and all the other stuff, there's so much corruption with drugs that I don't trust the drugs at all. In fact, I went off them. I just stopped them. And it felt better ever since. You know, so you really have to be careful of the medical profession, and it's hard to pick and choose, you know, what to do. I chose chiropractors over back surgery. You know, they said back when I was 17, having horrible back pains, you know, whoa, it looks like you're going to need surgery here in a couple of years, and, you know, we'll take care of that and you'll be fine. I'm thinking to myself, I don't think so. So now I'm, since 17, you know, here I am in my very early 60s, having never had back surgery and doing just fine, thank you, with 3 to 4 chiropractic visits a year. So you have to be smart about this kind of stuff. And I think, I almost think that people are afraid to make their own decisions, you know, because they're relying on experts. They're relying on the science. They trust the government. And quite frankly, overwhelming evidence seems to be, you know, proving just the opposite, especially when you start bringing into account the patents, the money, the corruption, and everything else that goes with vaccines. And the secret to this whole episode is that everybody's looking at this backwards. You know, they're trying to find the origin of, in fact, I'm on to Children's Health Defense with Robert Francis Kennedy Jr. Written them. I hope to get him on the show. But they're calling for a congressional investigation, as are many other folks, into the origin of the COVID virus. Well, they're missing the point. The virus isn't where this started. It started with the vaccine. Everybody's looking at this backwards. And I'm the only one that says, no, go back. Go back further. Go back to 2004. This is when this really started, you know, when they started looking into new guidelines for pandemics back in the Bush administration. And I think people are missing the point. And I know we're off topic today a little bit, but I think this is kind of important. And I trust your judgment and knowledge of medicine that you do have, you know, especially natural medicine, nutrition, things like that. But it seems to me that people, you know, what do you think as far as the investigations go? You know, does it make sense that the vaccine is the real problem? The origin of the vaccine, that the virus was created for the vaccine, to market the vaccine. Everything that happened, the demonization of hydroxychloroquine, demonization of ivermectin, the pushing of remdesivir, which doesn't really do a whole lot until you're, you know, almost dying anyway. The whole ventilator thing, everything's designed, the fear, the lockdowns, the masks, it all funnels people into vaccines. That's why I think that's where the origin is. It just seems too suspicious to me. What do you think?
Well, I agree, and here's the sad part of it, mm-hmm. and this seems to be playing out in a number of different venues, and that is that someone does an investigation, and they come up and they've got the perpetrator or whatever group or whatever, they've got them on video, they've got audio, they've got emails, they've got documentation that you did this, and they confront them and they say, aha, we got you. We know you did this. We've got all this documentation and here it is. We got you. And whoever that they've been investigating says, so, and then the investigator says, well, okay. And that's it. Nothing happens. And that's very frustrating.
Interesting.
I'm seeing that in all kinds of different places, and you know, it's they get the smoking gun, and
nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody does anything, and that's it. Just seems that the whole everything is compromised to such a degree that they're impotent in being able to actually, you know, do anything.
Well, I know that there's a huge amount of force against people. For example, if you want to do something, you know, big tech is going to censor you. I've got a 7-day suspension on Facebook, which is why I've been a little quiet on Facebook. simply because somebody that attacked me on my own page, okay, went after me and my friends on my own page, who I let continue to do that on my own page, when I said, you know, I was telling my friends, this is not a good idea to talk about your personal stories with this troll. Here's her real name. Here's what she's doing. And I said I don't mind the commentary, but just be careful what you say. She reported that to Facebook, and I got the suspension after she attacked me, and I was called, you know, rapist, murderer, insurrectionist, terrorist, you know, traitor, the whole bit, all this other kind of stuff. It's like, so there's the intimidation is there. Fortunately, I'm not intimidated very easily. Yeah, I'm off Facebook for a week, but I'll be back, you know. So there's a lot of courage. You have to be able to follow these things through. And those of us on the side, you know, where we know we're right, we have to keep following it through. We know there's election fraud. People are following it through. Most people have already given up, okay? When it comes to COVID, the sign that they've given up is that they're wearing masks and going along with the lockdowns rather than resisting. But in certain places, you know, the certain things are inspiring. You know, and when I walk into a grocery store without a mask, I watch people take their mask off. It's like, yeah, well, why couldn't you do that without me? What do you need me for? You know, why don't you make your own decision? You know, and when it comes to following through, when something really bad happens and they say, so what? Well, then we have to bring about the consequences. The way I do it is with actual citizen legislation. So in terms of the FDA, when Dr. Fauci says, you know, we're going to promote vaccines, we're going to demonize hydroxychloroquine, and he doesn't care if he kills 500,000 people to do it, because if he did, he wouldn't do it. You know, so then we come along with legislation that says, okay, we're not going to let you do that anymore. You're not going to have that monopoly power anymore. So then we have to go to the members of Congress and say, look, you've got to get a backbone. You can't allow this to go on anymore, especially if you want to come back to office. You know, so there are ways to resist this, but it needs to be organized. See, the forces of evil, as it were, are organized. You know, the Dr. Fascist is, you know, Dr. Fascist in particular is entrenched. He's so entrenched. Mm-hmm. I think he's the one behind this. I think he sort of made his mafia bones, so to speak, on AZT with AIDS, you know, back in the 80s. That's how he learned how to manipulate the system and get his big pharma drugs that he wanted, AZT, as opposed to some drug that these New York doctors discovered that treated AIDS, you know, far more effectively. And a lot of people died. Okay. So he goes, well, that's how you do it. Okay. So he learned how to do that there. So when this one comes along, you know, and like I say, this process started back at least 2007, where they took a look at the old guidelines, changed them so they could do a lockdown immediately, which you couldn't do under the 2007 guidelines, but they changed them in 2017, 3 months after Trump takes office. Gee, tell me that's not suspicious. All right. So you can't resign yourself to when the investigators fail to follow through and they say, we gotcha. All right. And the guilty says, so what? Well, we have to bring about the consequences. And that's what the show is about. So, you know, when we get viral through the American Indian community, you know, hopefully, and every other community in this country, and can start to have some real effects, I mean, I will be there, you know, on the front lines in front of Congress saying, hey, it's time you did your job, you know, earn your pay, do what you need to do. I don't care about your political considerations and all the groups that are paying you money. You know, she got to get votes. I mean, we need to make the vote more powerful. That's how I think you fight that kind of thing. That's how I do what I do. And that's why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Long-winded. Well, upon your sutta.
And then, yes, I would expect no less.
Yeah, well, I do my best.
Well, you know, what we have to do, I guess, is affect change and where we can, and you start by doing that where you live and who you are and who you're associated with on a day-to-day basis. And you have to build that, and that is definitely within our power, each of our powers personally, to do something about our situation in our local governments much more easily than to affect a national policy. And I guess that's what they call a grassroots movement.
It can be grassroots national. You can be grassroots local. Local is more effective because you can actually drop into the office of the people you want to talk to. But I want to get back to what you started the show with, which was very interesting, the whole idea of wearing masks and creating a hypoxia situation that then, you know, is creating more accidents. Now, is this anecdotal? Have you seen more accidents? I see more road rage. Especially over the recent, you know, spring break time, there are tons of accidents. In fact, a friend of mine got in an accident and was hurt pretty badly. And so it's out there. and I see, you know, but I don't know if they're actual numbers. Have you tracked any numbers on this? And is there a way for us to take?
I don't know that they're tracking that. I have not seen, you know, they'll track something that says if someone was, if alcohol was involved or drugs were involved, but I don't know that they had thought about tracking something that where a mask was involved. Because they probably look at that and just say, well, oh, here was a compliant individual. Too bad they had a wreck.
Well, it'd be nice if the county made an ordinance against, you know, against driving with a mask. That would be something nice to do. Let's talk to our Santa Rosa Public Information folks. What happened to
them? Then you get into the ordinance about the mask, and that's not right either, one way or the other.
Does the county have an ordinance? Because Milton specifically, you know, rejected a mask mandate. I don't think there is a county mask mandate. I think the governor said you can't have one, too.
Well, I feel like it's just as wrong to tell somebody they can't wear a mask as it is to tell somebody they have to wear one, though.
Yeah.
That's a personal choice, and I would not infringe that upon anybody. You know, and there's some people that are so dang ugly that the mask is
you like the
relief.
Mask. Well, we talk about, you know, people driving under the influence. You know, I don't know if you can hear this. I got some horrendous leaf blowing thing right outside my door or window or somewhere. So you hear some background noise, folks, that there's someone who shouldn't be there during my show, but that's what's going on. So if I appear a little distracted, that's what's happening. But if we have laws that say you can't drink and drive and you can't smoke marijuana and drive, you can't be under an influence, could it be said that a lack of oxygen caused by a mask is just as detrimental to your driving skills as a lack of oxygen or a lack of perception because of alcohol?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't see much difference.
I would get the CDC to do a study on that.
Well, what's that going to be worth? Like I said, there's a
vaccine
for it. Yeah.
There you go. Nobody's going to do a study on that because there's no money in it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you have to follow the money.
Yeah, that's a big thing, too. I might check our local resources and see if anybody's done that. Well, I don't know. Let's look right now. Well, just for the fun of it here, let me pull up my internet. And oh, there's so much noise outside. This is really bothering me. If I sound less so incoherent than usual, this is why. So let's go. Masks causing more driving accidents. Survey says, wearing a mask while driving is causing more accidents. Here you go. Finance Yahoo. Let me see. Let's pull this. This might be a whole show. I think he might have inspired something. Wearing a mask while driving is causing more accidents, higher insurance rates, says Insurance Panda. I don't know who they are. As a new article on the Insurance Panda website news, wearing a mask while driving can be hazardous for a number of reasons, including the way it can fog up glasses. Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially in our humid Florida environment.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. This is interesting. Oh, now you got me started here. As the company spokesman noted, the founders understand that many people wear a mask while driving, and for a number of reasons. In some cases, they may have friends or relatives from other homes in their car, or they are running multiple errands. Oh, let me get to the good stuff here. I mean, I haven't even seen this article till just now. Masks can be uncomfortable, especially if your mask is ill-fitting or poorly designed. You might tug your mask in different directions or change how it fits your face. These adjustments are distracting. What if you have to blow your nose and you're wearing a mask and you're driving? Anybody ever think about that?
Well, if you blow your nose while you're wearing a mask, is that the same thing as like going to the bathroom where you're wearing Depends? Do you have to actually take it off?
That's a good question. It does sort of seem as defeats the purpose, doesn't it? I better go back to the article. We could get to, there's a bunch of them here. Wearing a mask is, you know, causing more accidents. Let me see what else. This is fascinating. As a new article, it's Insurance Panda. Now, isn't that interesting? The insurance companies are the ones that are reacting to this, not the police, not the health and safety folks, certainly not the CDC. It's the insurance companies because they got to pay out more money. It's all the same headline. Wearing a mask while driving is causing more accidents. It's like it's the exact same article repeated about, you know. There you go. Here you go. Driver crashes car after passing out from wearing N95 mask. And that's actually last year. Safety tips, wearing a face mask while driving. Let's get the safety tips. Let me tell you. Let's see if we can see how to wear a mask while you're driving. This is fun. I'm having a good time here. If anybody else is on. Oh, geez, you know what? I just got my focus on the line for our next award. Hang on, guys. We got important stuff to do here. This is from, it's a law firm. Because, you know, they're going to get in, right? The law, Goodwin and Ziska. You know, I always like, remember Johnny Carson's law firm? Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe? Mm-hmm. Anyway, safety tips for wearing a face mask while driving. After the coronavirus pandemic hit in March 2020, wearing face masks while outside of our homes became a regular part of our day-to-day lives. Well, that's stupid, first of all. That's the place you don't get sick is outside your home. It's home is where everybody was getting the virus. Ah, safer at home is just the opposite. So whether you're heading out to the grocery store, okay, are face masks needed while driving? Whether or not you need to wear a mask while driving depends on a few things. If you're driving by yourself, this is from the law firm, right? If you're driving by yourself, that is considered a low-risk situation, so you don't have to wear a mask while you're in your car. Oh, I got to keep this article. I got to save this one. This is great.
Well,
what if I can call them up?
If it's low risk, that means there is a slight chance that you could catch the coronavirus from yourself.
Well, now, wait a minute. If your windows are closed, if you're exactly, but if your windows are open, does that mean a coronavirus could be like whipping around your car, you know, and go zapping through that little screen door that you've got there for a mask? Let me get Josie. She wants to get in this conversation. Yeah, Josie wants to get in here for a minute, and then if you have to go, let me know because I want to, you know, make sure we sign off here. But and then I've got Michaela and I've got Jimmy. We're going to talk about auditing the VA. Josie, do you want to get in on this mask wearing while driving? With
you
Chief
guys
Skyhurst?
Are funny. Oh, this is hysterical. He's talking about the depend while driving and the mask. I mean, this is
wait a minute.
Crazy.
Do you have to wear depends while driving? Is that part of the requirement too? I guess it depends, right?
And the other thing about the mask, now people can realize how bad their breath is because some people, their mouth stinks so bad. So now they have to put up with their own smell.
So wait a minute. This is a marketing technique for like, you know, Lavoris and Listerine that you can actually detect your own bad breath by wearing a mask.
You know what I'm gonna do now?
I'm gonna make a parody of this. Okay.
Let's call it Master Breath.
Maybe this is an opportunity for someone to come out with a, you know, like the little air fresheners that you hang on your mirror of your car. Maybe you could have a little air freshener that you put inside your mask.
Too good. Mask and breath freshener.
Yes,
you too can get the latest KTEL Ronco mask and breath freshener. Just wear your mask, be safe from COVID, and have fresh breath at the same time. We've interspersed your mask with particles of real mouthwash. So as you're breathing out, the mouthwash is killing your virus, and as you're breathing in, you're freshening your breath at the same time. Stay tuned for more adventures from Action Radio's new safe COVID products for you today. Oh, my God.
But wait, if you order one today, we'll send you an additional one just for the cost of shipping.
Exactly. 1995 guaranteed masks, you know, fresh from China,
but
from
wait,
Wuhan Productions.
But wait, you can what? Get a
but
second
wait.
One for free.
Mask and mouthwash. This is you know, I have to make a parody of this, don't you? I mean, you know, that I got to hit the production. Okay, all right, I'll see. See what I can do today. Oh my goodness!
Hey,
all right,
hey,
so
Greg.
Yeah, go ahead. Then I got to get to Jimmy and Michaela.
The people that cause an accident while driving with a mask alone should get a ticket because they don't have no one in their driver's side, in the passenger side, excuse me, or driver's side, and wearing a mask. But anyway, I see people by themselves wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is this? Anyway,
well, it's the thing,
crazy.
Too. We need, you know, you've heard of driving while Asian or driving while black. You know, we need a new category, driving while unmasked or driving while masked. You know, beware the person
wearing
a mask.
Or driving while something else.
Exactly. Driving while deoxygenated. We'll think of something here. Anyway, Chief, I got to let you go. Unless you want to stick around for the VA report. I don't know how much time you have, but Kutam Chihi Chathas. And we'll do it again next week. Mado. Oh, thank you. This has been fun. We actually started off seriously. God bless you too, Josie. And so I know we actually do serious reports most of the time, but this week You know, ever since I started, I asked my guests to pick, you know, which obligatory sex scandal I will get when I'm famous. We've lost it. This week has been just a total blowout in comedy, and I really enjoy it. So we have to have some fun. All right, let me bring on my guests of the day, Michaela Kerwin and Jimmy Smith. So Michaela approached me, I guess, maybe a month or so ago, and with the idea of doing a report from Concerned Veterans for America. They're in Washington. They cover a bunch of different topics. Michaela's local here in the greater Pensacola area, in Escambia and Santa Rosa County here in the panhandle of Florida. Jimmy, I'm not sure where you are. You can let me know. But these folks are both incredible advocates for veterans and actually for all of us, you know, kind of making things better for us. So let me bring them both on. We got Michaela. We got Jimmy. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Michaela, good morning, Greg. How are you?
There we are. All right. I'm doing great. Jimmy?
Good morning. And yes, so I'm all throughout the state. I cover the entire state, and I live in Citrus County, Florida.
Okay. Do you guys drive with masks on?
Heck no.
Oh. No, not at all.
I don't wear that thing unless I have to.
Oh, okay. I don't know if you heard the last few minutes of our chat with the Chief Dan Skyhorse, but yeah, we were just on a roll. I don't know. We have our moment, but that's, you know, and he was wondering, and this is something actually, it is a serious question that you might want to think about, you know, for Concerned Veterans for America, you know, especially older veterans, you know, are they driving with a mask and depriving themselves of a certain percentage of oxygen, maybe enough to tip the scales where they're just losing a little bit more judgment? You know, the skills aren't quite as sharp. First of all, especially older folks are, you know, a little slower in the reaction time anyway. Are we creating a more dangerous situation for people by, you know, with this ridiculous mask wearing stuff? And is that something that you guys, you know, might want to think about or propose to Concerned Veterans for America to take a look at, you know, masks while driving? It's just a thought.
Well, when it comes to stuff like that, basically, that's – go ahead, Michaela.
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't know what Concerned Veterans for America would say about that. I heard just the last little bit there. And so the idea is that it's your oxygen that's reduced. But
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wouldn't it take away if it's poor fitting, wouldn't it take away some of your peripheral vision as well? Like, I've noticed that it's kind of like when I'm walking, I don't know. It just seems funny up by my eyes. And if you wear glasses, it's a no-go.
Well, it fogs up your glasses too, especially in humid Florida.
Yeah.
You know, if you're breathing in your glasses, and that takes away vision. And anything that takes away vision, you might as well be texting, you know, at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get to our main topic. We want to talk about auditing the VA. So I'm just going to turn this over to you two. Take your turn, whoever wants to go first, and introduce our topic, and let's have at it. I'll write down a whole bunch of questions for you.
All right, sure. So first off, we, you know, Concerned Veterans for America, we think that Congress should be doing an audit of the VA so that we are making sure that they are spending money appropriately. We touched on it last week, but we went over kind of our broad scope of what we do with Concerned Veterans for America last week. This week, we kind of want to do a deeper dive on the specific issue of auditing the VA. So with the VA, we have the patient increase was something close to 5%, but over the last few years, 100% increase in funding. It is totally unchecked and uncontrolled. And then what is it going to? More and more bureaucracy, more and more, you know, folks that aren't even doctors, just staff. It's a lot like college administrations where it's like, you know, you don't have very many professors anymore. You have deans and assistant deans and the assistant to the assistant dean. So I think there should be an audit of the VA to make sure that the money that they're getting from taxpayers is actually helping veterans. And if you look at last year, there was 19.7 million appointments by the VA.
I'm just writing this down. That's staggering right there. Yeah. 19 million were canceled?
Canceled, delayed, or rescheduled since the pandemic hit. About 2.3 million had no indication of follow-up tracking. So we're on track for another Phoenix scandal. It's really, really, really bad what's happening with the VA system right now.
Can you explain the Phoenix scandal for folks that aren't aware of it?
Sure. So it was in, Jimmy, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure it was in 2014
yep.
in Phoenix, Arizona. There was a VA hospital that was essentially cooking the books. So they were writing down that they had followed up with veterans. They had gotten veterans appointments when they actually hadn't. And veterans were waiting incredibly long wait times. We're talking months of wait times to be just seen for normal, like, blood pressure checkups, things like that. So there were literally veterans dying because they were waiting so long to be seen by a doctor. And we are, I mean, we're back on track for that.
Well, so, and let's go into the aspect of the audit too there. So Michaela, you and I both know, and this is where it's important for Greg and everybody to get these kind of things, is that it directly affects the veterans. So if you have a cardiac issue and you have your appointment canceled or delayed, you may not get the medicine or recognize the health concerns that you have early enough to prevent your death. And that's where we talk about what happened out in Phoenix and things like that. And we start to see now that this is starting to happen. And the audit, though, that was done previously. So there's an audit that was done last year. That's why we pushed to make sure there continues to be audits. You know, they basically – in the audit by the Office of Inspector General, okay, so we have one federal agency looking at the VA, okay, and they specifically talked about them not following through with these kind of appointments. And then you go into it, and they talked that they basically, there was, and I believe the audit said something like, there was substantial noncompliance with federal financial management requirements, which means that here's this bucket of money like she described. Mind you, I hope you heard that comment she said earlier. Michaela specifically demonstrated that there was a 400% increase, 400% increase to the VA. During sequestration and previous budget cuts, they were exempt. Their budget grew by millions. They had additional $20 billion put into the community cares program. But yet, we currently have, as she demonstrated, these kind of things. And the only way you find these things out is by doing these audits, by having organizations that will go in and do really specific deep dives into the financial aspects, the management aspects, the outcome aspects. And that's why an audit is so important.
Yeah, who's going to do it?
The Office of Inspector General.
So this is the VA's own Office of Inspector General, or is this a separate Office of Inspector General?
The separate Office of Inspector General is the one who does the audits. And basically what they do is they just generally contract out with a for-profit company that will come in and look through all the books and all the times and all the responses and all the successes or failures. And again, when they have in their past audit, last year's audit, where it says substantial noncompliance with federal financial management systems. So if they're not following and tracking the money, we have almost 20 million canceled, delayed, or moved appointments. And, you know, it's that thing where the citizens need to start making sure that not only do we do things like the audits, but things that come out from the audits are followed through. And, I mean, that's why Michaela does all she does. Matter of fact, she was able to have a great meeting yesterday with, I forget the sheriff's name in Pensacola.
Sheriff Simmons here in Escambia County.
Yeah. Much Tony.
No, I know Chip. Chip's a cool guy. Yeah, he's a good sheriff.
Yeah, so we talked about the idea that, you know, like we said, there's almost 20 million appointments that were canceled, delayed, or rescheduled in the last year. Of that, 7.3 million were specialty care or mental health. That's really scary when you think about it. When you think about people having mental health issues, going through isolation in the pandemic, and their appointments were just canceled, or no, we're not, we won't see you. There was no expansion of telehealth within it, where we saw other government-run Medicare or medical care, like Medicaid, Medicare. They expanded their options. VA did not. So that was something we spoke with the sheriff about. There's a lot of law enforcement who are veterans.
The sheriff has to do with this. How does the sheriff fit in, though?
How does everyone fit in? Everyone should be worried about our veterans, don't you think?
No, I know that, but I'm just saying, I'm thinking legally, what can the sheriff do in terms of the VA and increasing the appointments?
He can't. I mean, we were just meeting to talk to him about our issues and what we, but also, Escambia County has a huge population of veterans. And
yeah.
So, one of the takeaways was, how many veterans are you seeing that are like this? And also, there's a huge portion of law enforcement that are veterans as well.
Saying that, but what I'm curious about is things like, how many of we say 20-some-odd million appointments canceled. Do you know how many appointments the VA holds per year? I'm trying to get like a rough ratio here of how many. Like 100 million? I'm just guessing.
I don't actually have that number for you.
Okay.
Jimmy, do you have that number?
Yeah, if you give me just a second, I'll go back through my records and I'll be able to bring that information up because without a doubt, it's an incredibly staggering number. It really is.
Well,
don't get me wrong.
That's what I want to know.
So
yeah.
We understand that fact.
20 million out of 60 million appointments, that's huge. That's a third that were canceled. If it's 20 million out of 200 million appointments, that's a different story. But here's my other concern.
Well, let's do it like this, though.
Okay.
So you and I and so many other people, and this is why we want to continue to push to have these audits.
Right.
Greg, you understand. If you have a person dying because they didn't get the care that is paid for and that is earned, mm-hmm. then it doesn't matter if it's one out of 20 million or 100 million appointments. That is a death that doesn't need to happen because
I'm with you on that.
Really paid for that appointment.
Yeah, no, I'm on your side. I'm just trying to get a picture of the program. And particularly when it comes to mental health appointments, I'm curious, did the suicide rate go up because of these canceled appointments?
Suicide rate went up in both Santa Rosa and Escambia County last year. The suicide rate went up. Now, not just among veterans, in total.
Right.
But I would love to get a stat on that. And, that's something I hope maybe the sheriff will help us out on.
Okay. Yeah, maybe public information officers or some kind of county records and see what see how bad the problem is. And this is such a good population to work with here because we do have so many not only veterans but active duty military, and so the problems are going to show up here first and most dramatically just because of that population. So you can take the results of what's going on here, kind of extrapolate that across the country and see where there are other concentration of veterans. It's like you folks better deal with this. And I'm particularly concerned with the mental health issues because I know a lot of veterans. I know veterans with PTSD. I know veterans with traumatic brain injuries. I know veterans with all kinds of really strong issues that they have to deal with on a 24-hour-a-day basis. And to have these appointments canceled makes me sick. But I still want to look at unfortunately, the cold hard numbers and sort of get a picture of this as we deal with it. And absolutely, this needs to be audited. So I want to get around to who in Congress should be doing this too, and who are the oversight committees, but I want to make sure you guys are on track with what you want to present first of all, but that'll be my next question in a bit. So where do we go?
Well, so here's where we go. So first and foremost, you have to make yourself smart on this. So, we're sitting here talking about the need for the audit, and the reason we are is because first and foremost, people need to know that there's a problem. We've identified that over and over and over. Okay. And we need to be able to demonstrate that. So right now we're networking with everybody from the DAV, VFWs, and everything to start generating that knowledge of what's going on. So we can point these things out to ask for those things to also be included in audits going forward, such as wait times and things like that. And then once you get that, then we drive that grassroots pool that Michaela has strongly developed in the panhandle, and we drive that into the congressional offices to suggest specific changes. So one of the things that you see is this is the start of the process. So we are really starting to find out that Lake Nona is having a problem, that Bay Pines is having a problem. Now we know what the problems are. Now we know where they're at, and now we know what we need to push for as far as going forward with the audits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a proper process.
So are you looking at, you know, misplaced money spent? Are we looking at appointments? Are we looking at other criteria, failure to comply with legislation? How far are these audits going to go?
Well, I would say they need to go all the way. Like, we need to know everything.
Okay.
If for instance, I have a friend who is a Vietnam veteran,
mm-hmm.
and he's disabled and needed to have an older injury looked at, and went to the VA or went to a doctor under the community care. Oh no, you've got to get this approved by your VA doctor, yada, yada, yada. So he goes to the VA. The VA says, okay, yep, absolutely. Go see such and such a doctor. That's no problem. We'll get that done for you. 6 weeks later, he hadn't heard. So he had a friend call in to find out about this. Where was the paperwork? Oh yes, we've already approved you. Yeah, we approved you weeks ago, but they never made the call. So what is their job if they're not getting in contact with veterans?
No, that
what
makes
are they
sense.
Doing? Like,
in a certain respect, that to me would be, there's a preventable way to call back yourself. In other words, you know, I've always believed in being proactive with my health. Even private doctors fail to call back sometimes, or they fail to give you results, or they just fail because people fail. You know, so that's something that's different than the willful, you know, misconduct that was going on in Phoenix, where they were literally cooking the books. And this is something we should talk about too, because this is such a blatant example that to make themselves look good or escape criticism or escape oversight or escape anything they wanted, they were literally lying. People were dying in the aisles and they were lying about it, and they were still able to sleep at night. That to me is unconscionable.
But right,
we
don't know that they didn't, without an audit, we don't know that they didn't write down that they had gotten back in touch with this gentleman.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying. So okay. it's not just, oh, they didn't do it because they were busy. I understand. 6 weeks is a long time, though, to say, well, you were approved 5 weeks ago and we haven't gotten
yeah.
back in touch with you.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a long, long time, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. And if that was a life-threatening issue, he could have.
I would have been calling a lot more often. I would have been calling him every couple of days, say, hey, when's my appointment? You know, and yeah, but there was a different situation. I think the Phoenix is such a good illustration of how horrible things can get. So they were saying people were seen when they weren't seen, right? I mean, they literally were lying on the record. Right?
Exactly.
Okay. So how do you do an oversight
on
that?
But Greg, let's stay on the whole aspect of what should be in the audit, because, you know,
okay.
like Michaela demonstrated very smartly that you need to get in there and look at the wait times and response times and things like
right.
that. But so their previous audits, mind you, had basically said that they basically were ignoring law. So here's the Mission Act law that says you're supposed to do these things. We have these delayed, canceled appointments that's doing these things. And that's why the language has to be very smartly done whenever we have our legislators go in there and develop the criteria for these audits and stuff. But also one of the things that we need to look at is you know, we have expired VA programs that are still technically on the books and being funded, okay? We have the VA spending, that's not spending on budget. And how do we know this is because, well, they're getting more money and the growth in the budget that they get is exponentially higher every year, but the growth in veterans who are going there for services are at, I think, 3.5 or 5%, somewhere in that bracket right there. So, I mean, massive amounts, billions of dollars. And in the recent stimulus package, they got an additional $20 billion. An additional $20 billion.
That's
okay,
with a B,
above
right?
what their budget already is. Say again?
That's with a B, billion?
Yes, B with a billion. Okay. $20 billion additional dollars. Without
to
a demonstration
what?
Of need. Without exact, well, they say because they want to fix all these things and fix the and deal with structural issues with buildings and do all these other wonderful things to get the VA back on track. But the reality is, if you haven't been able to get back on track with the money you already spent that the previous audit already demonstrates that you didn't do, you know, how is this ever going to help by just shoveling more money at the VA? And let me go back to something you mentioned. When the VA scandal happened out in Phoenix, One person was fired. One. And it was fired because not the deaths that happened because of what happened there. They were fired because of mismanagement of the money, not about the deaths. Nobody in the VA gets punished. Nobody in the VA is held accountable. And it seems that nobody really wants to dig deep into the numbers, and that's why we push for the audit. And I'll tell you what, eventually Michaela's going to be calling on you and your friends to get on the phone lines and work with us to get hold of our leaders and drive this audit. And that's where Michaela is. I mean, heck, she's getting meetings with the sheriff and all kinds of people in your area. She's the player.
Well, I think one person we should be talking to is our Congressman Matt Gaetz. I know he's going through what I call the Democrat obligatory, you know, bogus sex scandal. But I think his office's staff is changing over. I think that they've got some new people in communications that might make it more accessible. And this might be a good time to approach him. Or maybe, you know, when things calm down a little bit. But I think, you know, he would be somebody who is especially, you know, pushing in favor of veterans in Congress. And it might be a good time, because he's in our district here and is a national figure. It might be a good time to look into that as well. So just a thought.
Well, yeah,
we talk to all of our legislators, and like every single one of them. Yeah, of course.
Well, how many members of the Florida delegation are veterans? Just
are
curious.
You talking about congressional or state?
Well, most of your work seems to be the federal level, but we can talk state too. Well, I'm just curious.
State, I think there's 21.
Okay. Out of?
Yeah. Out of 160, if you add the cabinet, it'd be 165.
Okay. Not a large percentage. How about Congress?
Yeah, but it's not bad compared to Congress. Congress, I think it's in the in the single digits.
Oh, really?
As far as percentage. Yeah.
And Florida has how many members of Congress? 40-something maybe? 50? I'm not sure. No, I believe that big. Like 20 or 30.
Two senators.
29?
27 congressmen and women. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. The audit, like I say, I think it's a great idea, but it's one thing to get the information. It's another thing to do something with it. And so where does the process go? Do you want to take it to the Congressional Oversight Committees? Do you want the Oversight Committees doing the audit? Are you recommending legislation or going to be from the audits? Where do you want to take this?
Okay, well, you want to jump on that or you want me to?
You guys can take turns. I want both of you for each question. So feel free, whoever wants to jump in first, you know, feel free. I'm going to get to the other person, you know, anyway, just because I want to get you both you know, equally involved in this here. So where does it go?
We are pushing for, as this process develops, because this is our normal process, as it develops, we're going to start holding events and meetings. Matter of fact, Michaela is going to hold a meeting and show a particular movie. And Michaela, if you want to talk about that right quick before we move on.
Yeah, where's it going to be? When and where? Do you know yet?
I don't have a question for you. Sorry, I have a sick baby at home. I'm so sorry. That's where I was a second ago.
Well, if you have to go, we can always pick this up later. I mean, by understanding, that's first
good,
priority.
Good.
But, yeah.
I was talking to him for a second. It's not a problem.
okay.
So,
put him on the show. Yeah. Put him on the show.
I'm
I love
sorry
kids.
About that.
It's live radio.
He loves. He goes, "Mommy, Action Radio."
Oh, really? Well,
let me
just for the fun of it, is he listening to the show right now?
No, he's in the other. I've got him back in the other room. I don't want to do that. Not yet.
Oh, okay. Because I play this.
So we'll be showing something called.
Action Radio, dangerously cool. There you go. You can play that.
He'll love that. He'll love that.
Yeah.
We re-listen to the shows in the afternoon.
Wonderful.
But so, yeah. So, the movie we'll be showing is a documentary called The Care They Earned. I'm still working on location, but I'm pretty sure we'll be doing it at the Hangar on Avalon Boulevard towards the end of the month.
Okay. Excellent.
I've just got to secure that with them.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, and I know I asked you guys some tough questions, but I really want to get to it. I'm on your side. I don't, you know, I ask tough questions of everybody. That's just me, because I really want to know, for my own sake, not trying to put you on the spot so much as to really kind of, you know, get into the details, because I think a lot of times we can explore these things, you know, more closely and find out who's going to do it and who do we have to hold accountable and what are the next actions we're going to take. And that's why I do it. That's why I like to know, you know, as many details as possible.
Go ahead. The folks in charge of the VA need to be held accountable. The folks that are mismanaging the money, letting veterans die, need to be held accountable.
Absolutely.
Like Jimmy said, only one person was fired, and it was because they mismanaged money. That's not being held accountable.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you.
And Congress has to stop throwing money at problems that can't be fixed with money.
And Greg, but you become part of this thing. So we, of course, when you're in the grassroots, we do things. We push to hold our congressmen and women accountable and things like that. But you also have a part to play in this, because in reality, you have the one thing bigger than we do. You have the bully pulpit. You have the ability to drive a message about accountability, and you do through your radio station and everything, and it's awesome. But the reality is calls to action like what you do, I mean, we're willing to basically sit down and say, okay, the call to action. So here's a call to action right now that we're doing, okay?
Okay.
For us to be able to build the energy to make these things happen, we need people to let us know their story. So there's a website that is myvastory.org, okay? So myvastory.org. is a way for a veteran to go on there and tell their story. And it can be a positive story. They can get on there and go, hey, look, they gave me ice cream at the VA and it was wonderful. Or they can go out there and go, hey, they chopped off the wrong leg. It can be whatever it has to be. But you're the person that gives that tool to basically hold them accountable. And then when we find these things out, we come in like we are now and reporting it to you. You have that incredible – I wish I had your mic. Because the things that you can say that we can't, your ability to look at the VA and go, do the job that you're hired to do, you're government servants. You're not supposed to be these mismanagers of the veterans' care that you've been in the past. We need to make sure that the dollars paid for veterans' health care is appropriately spent on the veteran and their health care. And so that's why we bring this radio conversation to you, because, you know, we want people to go to myvastory.org. And we want to then take and come to you. Greg, you're the bully pulpit. You're the driver of the message in your community. People are listening to Action Radio for a reason, because they're following your lead on this.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And what we do here is in regards to citizen legislation, you know, we have a bill to fix in the VA their whistleblower act, because it's not protecting the whistleblowers like it should. And that's something I need to talk about you folks in Washington with. I'm going to take Josie's call real quick, and then I'm going to let you guys go, and then I want to get on to vaccine passports, which is another huge problem. Josie, you're on with Michaela and Jimmy from Concerned Veterans for America.
Yes, good morning again. I wanted to say my husband, he's a retired military, Air Force, and he has the option to either go to the VA hospital or choose his own doctors. And we have never had any problem at all. And we got the best care. He had hip surgery. He barely paid anything. And he probably had to have his other one. And we have never had any problem in 3 years that we started our TRICARE benefit. So we do have the option to go to the VA or choose our own doctors.
And Greg, if I can reply to that, so as a retired veteran myself of 20 years, I have TRICARE just like her and her husband. And that is, my wife just got surgery, and it was perfect. That's what we want for the veterans who are not retired, who go to the VA. We want our veterans to get exactly what her husband got and what my wife, they're going to private doctors. The retiring veterans have a different program. Matter of fact, Congressman Gray Stubbe has True Veterans Choice Act, and that is basically to allow people going to the VA the same thing her husband and I got, to make sure they're getting the same care that the retirees get at the same quality and the same access. And that's the problem. Veterans who are not retired are not getting this kind of care.
Oh.
Yeah, definitely just fix that.
Because President Trump was was fixing all this when he was in office. He was supposed to be taking care of all this to change because they were doing a very poor job before and a lot of money, they didn't know where the money was going. So I thought he fixed this whole thing, but I don't know, of course.
Well,
no,
there's
Jimmy,
still much
more to
do. Passed in 2018, the VA Mission Act, and that provided for community cares. So it was to allow veterans to seek care in their communities, but only under certain stipulations. One, if the VA doctor signed off on it. Two, if they were waiting more than 20 days, or if they were having to drive more than 2 hours to get to their appointment. And so there were certain stipulations on it. So it's not true freedom of choice. Like, they didn't really have the choice. And Congressman Stubbe's proposal would allow them that, a true liberty.
Well, if you can get that act, we can talk about it. If Congressman Stubbe wants to come on the show, he's certainly welcome to. If you guys want to invite him on, that would be a great thing to do. This is fascinating. This is absolutely critical. And like I say, I like to get all the details in my own head of just how bad this situation is. So let me get you a closing statement from both of you, and then I want to cover vaccine passports in the remaining bit of the show here. But this has been fascinating. Thank you very much. Michaela?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. If you'd like to find us on Twitter, we're at Concerned Vets. On Facebook, we're Concerned Veterans for America. And if you'd like, please share your story at myvastory.org.
Yeah, I have some folks
I
want to get in touch with you as well to see if we can get some of the more the local folks involved with that. Justice, did you have a comment?
Yeah, thank you for standing for the military, the VA. Thank you so much.
Truly a passion.
Yeah, I'll be back next
thank
week, too.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Jimmy?
Thanks so much, Greg.
You're very welcome, Michaela.
Well, so
Jimmy,
let me close with this thought. The Concerned Veterans for America, that of course says you can reach us on Twitter and you can see a lot of what we're discussing. But here's the important part. Veterans did not just, get out of the military and are no longer military. Once you join the military, your service to the country doesn't end. And they need to be part of this discussion. They need to be actively engaged. So when Michaela talks about how we're going to do an event, Michaela is the tool in the toolbox, in the panhandle, to do policy for veterans. A lot of organizations like the American Legions and DAB and stuff like that, they're service organizations. We are a policy organization, nonpartisan, not-for-profit policy organization. And this is where Michaela is the one to turn to. So, Greg, anybody who ever asked you about CVA, the next words out of your mouth should be Michaela Kerwin.
Oh, I know.
Good.
Oh, yeah, she's great. Yeah, we talk actually, off the air too about things to try and get more of this going. Hey, you guys are great. Let's do it again next week, and we'll let me know the topic, and we'll talk about that. And I appreciate you coming on.
All right, thanks so much, Greg.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And Greg, no, I'm not getting no passport vaccine. That's it.
Yeah. Well, Josie, you're welcome to stay on. In fact, you guys are welcome to stay on as well. I'm going to continue the discussion, and we'll get to that right after this.
Okay.
All right, go.
Action Radio. Part of the ADHD Radio Network. The ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio. Such a busy place. We got about 20 minutes left in the show, and we're going to get right to There's no really main topic because we do cover so many different areas, but this one is a particular fascination to me because of what's going on with this whole idea of vaccine passports. In other words, it's part of the whole cabal control, mask up, lock down, and buy your rights back. And so the leftists have made themselves very clear in what they want, and that they want to control everything. They want to control your business. They want to control your family gatherings. They want to control your church. They want to control absolutely where you go, where you live, how many people you can gather with, whether you can go to sports and entertainment venues, the beach, the parks, everything. They literally want to control everything. So we know that. But the question is, how much pushback does it take to resist that? And apparently not a whole lot, because they proposed these vaccine passports, and everybody thought, oh, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. We have to have a vaccine. We can't go in. Or yeah. Okay. So all you losers, stop that. I don't want to hear any more of that talk. If you want to be this is a show for crusaders. And so be a crusader. Be tough. Be a warrior. Stand up to these people, because look how easy this is to change. So I got the Epoch Times here from yesterday. White House says Americans not required to carry vaccine passports. Well, isn't that a surprise? Because just a short time ago, Joe Biden, the imposter, said, if I can't do a good Joe Biden, but basically he says, if you want to have July 4th, then you have to do what we say. And I don't know if anybody, picked up the irony of the government telling you what to do on Independence Day from government. So this is where we are. So the article is, let's see if we can get here, Jack Phillips. April 6th, Epoch Times, Americans not required to carry vaccine passports. So he says, White House press secretary on Tuesday said that the CCP virus, that's a new term for it, the Chinese Communist Party virus, vaccine passports, in quotation marks, will not be developed or supported by the Biden insurrection. My word. Coming after several GOP governors issued executive orders banning them. This is hysterical to me. Right. So Ron DeSantis in Florida says, no, we're not going to have vaccine passports. You can't do it. And Florida is one of the most traveled states in the country, and it's huge. It's got a big economy. Right. Texas then comes along, with Governor Abbott, like I said, I've heard he does the right thing for the wrong reasons. But anyway, it doesn't matter. He did the right thing. He says, no, we're not going to have vaccine passports either. So now you've got Florida and Texas already saying no. Other states are going to follow suit. And so these folks, as much as they are arrogant, they're not completely stupid. Those that are currently occupying the White House, and they realize this is a loser for them. And it may work in New York, while they're under, the communist dictatorship of Andrew Cuomo, but it's not going to work back in free America. And so the article goes on, the government is not now, nor will we be supporting a system that requires Americans to carry a credential. There will be no federal vaccinations database and no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential. And that is Jen Psaki. Told reporters Tuesday at the White House. Psaki last month responded to reports that the administration was working with private firms to create a passport system, saying the administration would provide guidance. Well, you know what that means, right? When the CDC says guidance, they really mean they want you to do it. And the governors say, well, the CDC is offering guidance, so I'm going to make it an order, which they can't do, of course. Article says, our interest is very simple from the federal government, which is Americans' privacy and rights should be protected. So these systems are not used against people unfairly. Psaki clarified Tuesday. She again said the government would provide guidance on privacy concerns related to vaccines. So, Josie, what do you think? They're backpedaling. They've wimped out. they've seen the light.
Well,
they felt the heat.
Yeah, I'm so proud of our Governor Ron DeSantis, because he's standing, and I'm sure a lot of states are going to do the same thing too. Because this is just like being like Hitler, and we're not going to tolerate and allow that in this country.
Yeah, so I'm always careful with the use of. I like to be careful with the use of Hitler, because Hitler was a genocidal maniac, this isn't a Hitler situation. This is a secret police situation. Well, yeah, I know, but just to clarify, this is more like a CIA, KGB, secret police, Savak in Iran and that kind of stuff, all the Stasi in Czechoslovakia. This is where you would be monitored, checked, traced. It's like China right now.
Like communist.
Well, it's absolutely
communist,
yeah. But I'm just, like I say, I just want to be really clear as to, because the Hitler thing always brings out the, when people say it's just, anyway, But you're absolutely right, it's communist. It comes right out of the Chinese Communist Party. And it does come out of Nazism in terms of papers.
It is.
You had to carry your papers.
They want to control. They want to control.
Oh, yeah.
Humanity.
No, I understand.
This is exactly what's happening right now with all of it.
But I don't want to lose the message in the Hitler characterization. That's my
sure.
only point. But, anyway, so, and you can disagree with me. Feel free. I mean, this is all part of the show. That's what makes it interesting. So I got another one here from The Who. The World Health Organization, The Who, rejects vaccine passports, quote, at this stage. So in other words, they're reserving the right to be tyrants later on, but they're not going to be tyrants right now. Isn't that special? And this is Jack Phillips again, Epic Times, and this is April 6th. So he was busy writing yesterday. The World Health Organization, The Who, says it rejects using the Chinese Communist Party virus vaccine passports at this stage for travel because health authorities are not sure whether the vaccine is effective. Now, isn't that fascinating? The World Health Organization, who is pushing vaccines worldwide, isn't sure if they're effective. Now, what does that tell you? Do you want to get into that one?
And Greg,
uh-huh.
These people are confused from one minute to the next because they're fighting over no ID for voting in Georgia, but they sure want you to have an ID type for vaccine. So these people are insane. Not normal.
If you look at it in terms of government control, the government, the Democrat part of the government controlled the vote by giving everybody a mail-in ballot, which they then, took back and voted however they wanted. So that's still government mm-hmm. control. All right. The government wants to control where you can go with these vaccine passports. Remember Buttigieg, who recently said we're going to have a mileage tax? Actually, it was Tom Herman was doing, what still is Rush Limbaugh's show, which is fascinating to me. We should talk about that too. They can't let go of Rush. We need to talk about that one day.
Yeah.
But anyway, but what's interesting is he said that along with this gasoline tax, that they also want to have a GPS monitor in your car. And he says these monitors are so good now, they can tell when you brake hard. They can tell when when you swerve. And so that information will go to your insurance company and they can come back to you, why did you put your brakes on? And of course it could have been, rain. So the car stopped short in front of you, any number of reasons. But the point is they're tracking all that, okay? So everything's being monitored, and that's the biggest problem. That's the big brother state. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I say quickly?
Sure.
My opinion should be there should be no more election, no nothing at the moment. Everything should be on hold until all the fraud gets revealed. Nothing should continue right now. They should put all the elections in Georgia or anything off until they come out with the result, which we already know that it's a fraud. So nothing should move on.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think there are any major elections until the midterms in 2022. So we got some time to do that. But I agree with you that not so much putting, because there might be some special elections in some place. I don't want to stop them. But the thing is, before we get to the next one, we have to correct the last one. That I absolutely agree with.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So the article goes on, quote, we as WHO are saying at this stage, we would not like to see the vaccination passport as a requirement for entry or exit because we are not certain at this stage that the vaccine prevents transmission. WHO spokesman Margaret Harris. I wonder if she's the one that originally said asymptomatic transfer doesn't happen or if it does, it only happens rarely. And this is a news conference in Geneva, Switzerland. And, of course, this was Tuesday, so 2 days ago. Article says another big issue is concerns about equity or equal access to vaccines across different groups in society. Pregnant women, for example, largely are advised not to get the vaccine at this time. Yeah, because it's dangerous, folks. The quote is here, but this is an evolving situation. And ultimate, of course, when we know more about whether or not it prevents transmission and when there's greater equity, this is something that may be, important in the future. Okay, so equity is code for racial identity groups, all right? If we're going to have equity, it's not equality anymore, it's equity. In other words, equal everything, equal income, equal access, equal all kinds of stuff. And I got a story here that I wasn't going to do today, but I'm going to pull it up right now just because it's fascinating. And I put it on my Parler account. Here we go, the new racism. Here we go. So here's an interesting story. This is from a website called Bacon's Rebellion, reinventing Virginia for the 21st century. So apparently there's a place in Danville. And Danville, I guess, is a mostly white community. And then they wanted to give out the vaccines, but they wanted to make sure that that the Black and Hispanic people were, had access, you know, inequity to the vaccine, except there aren't a whole lot of Black and Hispanic people there, so that it wasn't being utilized, all right? And so they weren't – garbage truck outside the window. I got more noise today for the show. This is really distracting.
And that's what they're accusing Ron DeSantis, and the public who's given the vaccine, and all the white people shop at public and all the – this is just –
oh, it's hysterical,
they
right?
They want to divide us. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But here's what's interesting. And I'll go over this article in more detail because we only have about 10 minutes left here. But what's interesting is this community, this Danville community in Virginia, they're able to vaccinate, I think, 12,000 people a day. They were doing about, 1,500 folks a day. They were trying to get more Black and Hispanic people to take advantage of this program, but Black and Hispanic people weren't taking advantage of it because there aren't enough Black and Hispanic people to take advantage of it, all right? So more white people were doing it. And what they were saying was there were too many white people getting the vaccine. So they stopped giving out the vaccine to white people, promoting it for Black and Hispanic people that weren't going there anyway. All right. So rather than vaccinate all the white people that wanted it, they discriminate against the white people, saying you can't have the vaccine, and said, well, you have to reserve it for the Black and Hispanic people, but they're not showing up for the vaccine. Maybe I should go over this now. This might be a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Listen, this is James A. Bacon. This is April 5th, so 2 days ago. He says, remember the COVID vaccination clinic in Danville where so few locals were getting shots that people, mostly students, were driving in from out of town to avoid the long waits elsewhere? Concerned about the equity implications, that's what the WHO talked about, of all those white people getting vaccinated while Blacks and Hispanics were not, the Northam administration, that's the governor of Virginia, restricted access for walk-ins. Only people properly scheduled through the state registration system would be allowed. Well, how's he going to do that? Is he asking the race of the people? Anyway, he says, so how's that working out? Danville's state-run vaccination clinic has the capacity to administer up to 3,000 vaccinations per day. There we go. According to the Danville Register and B, in an article published Saturday, it had averaged only 184 daily shots over the four previous days. 3,000 a day, they're only doing 184. So that's about, 15-20% or something? He says, well, that's one way to ensure equity in vaccinations, prevent too many white people from getting them. Yeah, this is like their racism. So their white racism. He says Steve Hainer highlighted the insanity of this approach back on March 26th, and the latest statistics are just the icing on the cake. He says we can calculate that the clinic gave only 736 shots over those 4 days when it could have given about 12,000. Okay, that's where that 12,000 number came from in my head. He says, so for the sake of, quote, equity, roughly 11,000 people who could have been partially or fully immunized from COVID were not. That, to me, is hysterical. And the irony of this is the people that didn't get it were probably saved from all the problems of getting the vaccine. But that's
from
not the
dying.
Point. Yeah, but the point is the intention.
To be saved from dying.
Yeah, but the
because
intention
you know,
is not
you know,
that
Greg,
at all.
All the rats and different little animals that they use to test all these vaccines, they have died within the 6 month period.
Well,
they have died from it.
Now, there's a story behind that, too. And what that's talking about, that's a really interesting part of that. I'll be doing that in a subsequent show, that the vaccine is chemical messenger RNA. It's designed on a computer.
Yeah.
They don't actually do human trials. The animals that have gotten this messenger RNA vaccine have a chemical alleged immunity to the COVID virus. What's happening is when these animals get out in the wild, apparently they have no immunity to the wild COVID virus. They only have, and I don't even know if they have immunity to the engineered computer model that they were using, to inject these animals. So they all died, all right? So because the virus is mutating. So what the vaccine is actually doing, and this we know from the flu shot actually reduces your ability to develop immunity to the flu. That's why you need more flu shots every year. So once you start getting the flu shot, you have to get bigger and stronger flu shots every year. That's why that Fluad, that Fluad one that's four times stronger for seniors, that's because all the seniors that have got it have progressively lost immunity to the flu because they got the flu shot.
Yes. I don't want that.
Oh, no, of course not.
No.
Yeah. So those of us that have natural immunity also have a greater natural ability to adapt to the variations. So when Dr. Fauci gets on. Go ahead.
Yeah. God created your body for you to be, facing all these different viruses in the world in your entire life.
Until
we don't need all this garbage.
Yeah.
I don't take none of that garbage.
Yeah, no, we're intended to live a certain amount of time, and nobody knows when. But until that time, you should live a good, healthy, productive life. And then when you're done, you're done. I mean, then God takes you, and then away you go. You know, and that's fine with me. I understand that. So, which brings a sense of urgency, so that you want to make sure you do what you want to do in your lifetime. Don't sit around waiting until you're too old and go, "Gee, I really should have started that action radio thing." Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so point being, but point being, the animals died. And so what's going to happen? And here's the thing. People say, "Oh, I had the vaccine. Yeah, I had a reaction. I feel fine." But 3 months, 6 months, 9 months from now, if we see a huge spike in cancer, you know, we'll be able to trace it right back to the vaccine. I feel really sorry for those folks, but you can't tell them. Josie, I can't tell them. You know, the people look me in the eye and go, "I got the vaccine."
Within 6 months to 2 years, many will die. Many.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sent you a video of this doctor from the Mayo Clinic, and he's talking about the vaccine and all that. And he says this pregnant girl got the vaccine, and her baby, she had a miscarriage the very next day or within hours or something like that. So the baby.
And what did
the
hospital say it was?
Why would you want to take a vaccine? I don't know. But I did send you the video, so you can check it out. Very good, actually. A lot of people.
Why would anybody under 70 want it? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people are paying attention to this video because it's from a Mayo Clinic doctor, and a lot of people are familiar and all that. So a lot of people have responded very well, the people that I send them the video only through Messenger.
I'll put it on my Parler account.
Check it out.
I could put I put anything on Parler. I still am under suspension because of a leftist troll who falsely accused me of a bunch of nasty stuff, and Facebook believed him. So I'll be back next Tuesday, my Facebook comes back. Anyway, I'm gonna be a lot more careful next time with who I let on my page. Anyway, I learned my lesson. So here's something. Here's an article I found. Here's an article from RT Question More is the title of the website. Ron Paul divides social media after urging Americans to, quote, wake up and reject vaccine passports. And this is April 2021. Sixth of April, so yesterday. Is it six or eight? Any more glasses? I need an eye exam, but we'll worry about that later. Anyway, Ron Paul has warned, this is from the article, that COVID-19 vaccine passports could be used by the U.S. government to restrict freedoms, stirring up an already heated debate over whether such IDs are necessary. Yeah, it's unconstitutional to require a vaccine to travel when the Supreme Court has said very clearly we have a right to travel. Okay, so that's a simple argument. The more complex argument is we didn't need the Supreme Court's permission anyway. You can't have a free society if you don't have a right to travel. That's just a basic human right, the ability to go from here to there.
But we're allowing all the illegals to travel all over our country without it being checked.
Well, that's different. That's actually a voter registration program and foreign aid. You know, so that's a whole different issue. That's what I call it. It's basically the illegal aliens are a Democrat voter registration program. So in actual fact, we could prosecute the Democrat Party for vote fraud for letting in all these illegal aliens that they want to vote for them. That is vote fraud. You want to see vote fraud? There's vote fraud.
Yeah.
That's also voter suppression, suppressing all the Americans' votes, you know, which are being negated by all these illegal aliens. Yeah, anyway, I only got 3 minutes. Yeah. I want to make sure I finish this one little bit here. The former U.S. congressman, this is back to the article, and physician, that would be Ron Paul, said on Monday that requiring certificates to verify vaccination for international travel or daily activities would, quote, solidify the whole idea that our lives belong to the government. And that right there is the whole point. He says they own liberty, and now you're going to get permission to use a little bit of it. They are going to divvy it out a little bit. You'll never get back what you should have, he said while speaking on this program, the Ron Paul Liberty Report. So, yeah, you'll never get back what you should have. And that's very true. The Biden insurrection has acknowledged that it is collaborating with tech companies to develop a variety of potential vaccine passport apps. At the state level, New York has already created its own digital certificate that grants entry to venues. Well, screw them. You know, Ron Paul says in his tweet, vaccine passports must be stopped. Accepting them means accepting the false idea that the government owns your life, body, and freedom. I'll probably cover this more tomorrow. Well, I got a little bit more time. Paul warned that the initiative could be used to regulate nearly all aspects of life, including where you will be allowed to go and what kind of activities you'll be permitted to participate in. He said he hoped Americans would, quote, finally wake up and oppose vaccine IDs. That's what we should call them, vaccine IDs. He says, if people don't take a stand now, things are going to get bad. And that's according to Ron Paul. That's probably it's on my Parler account at Greg Pengel. So anybody wants to take a look, it's there. But I got about 40 seconds, Jesse. It's all yours. Vaccine IDs, vaccine passports. Your comment.
No way. You're gonna
okay,
find
that's a good
me
comment.
Doing that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you have a blessed day, and you're almost done here.
Yeah, I know. But I'll be back tomorrow. this has been an incredible week. So thank you very much.
Good
I'll you
thank
too.
You.
Well, thank you. Bless you too. It's what's going on this week is incredible. What's happening in Action Radio is amazing to me. The people that are coming to it, the issues that we talk about, the depth that we get to, the insights, you know, everything that's happening here. I hope you share the show because we're doing some incredible work and we're going to do a lot more as soon as we go viral and get that first million listeners. Anyway, this is Greg Pengels for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Back tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time.